This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Gospel, Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let us receive your word to us in faith, so that we may live alert lives, ready to receive our Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think most of the times, if we have a car, we expect our car to work, and we don't think about it much. We hop in the car, put the keys in the ignition, get the car started, off we go. I think that's how it is most of the time. But then sometimes chaos breaks in. We're driving along and we hear a strange sound from the car. We may be tempted to turn the radio up to pay no attention to the sound, but that will only delay the inevitable. When there's a sound, it's a sign that chaos is breaking in. We can no longer expect our car to work normally. There's going to be a cost. A time of judgment, if you like, is coming. I think often, too, marriages can have a certain routine to them. And perhaps you could say, we expect them to work. But we know in our world, sometimes chaos can break into marriage. One spouse finds the other has been cheating. And it's not just that they feel hurt, betrayed, humiliated. It's also that they think to themselves, what life have I been living? Have I been deluded about my relationship that I could not even see this coming? Have I been deluded about myself? Is there any stability? Do I really know who I am, who my spouse is, what this world is like? This sort of chaos can also break into our very lives, our bodies. You could say we normally expect them to work, but then something breaks in. They don't work like they used to, and eventually they take us to death. And there's no escape for any of us. Chaos will break in. Will there be any stability, any firm ground, even in the face of death? Now today, from the Gospel, I proclaim good news. And the good news is not that our cars will always work. And the good news is not that marriage will always run smoothly. And the good news is not that we will not die. The good news is that even in the face of this world's chaos, there is something that gives us firm ground, something that gives us true identity, somewhere we can really place our hope. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of our Lord Jesus will never pass away. And when we find refuge in him, we find refuge in the one who gives us a true ground, who gives us true hope, who gives us order in the face of instability and chaos. Now, in today's gospel reading, our Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. It's at the end of his ministry. He's left the temple for the last time. The passion narrative is about to begin. And Jesus speaks the words they're about to hear to his disciples. Listen to what he says. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and with great glory. Signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. I think it's good for us to picture this sort of thing literally, but especially to think scripturally. Think back to the creation account, the generations of these things, the generations of the sun, the moon, and the star. Why, the scriptures say, God gave these things? To give order to the human community, to mark the times and the seasons. Think about how bound we are as human beings to sunrise and sunset. Even to this day, with all our technology, the rising and the setting of the sun still orders our day. Think about the moon, which waxes and wanes and sets the months for us, or the stars, which set our yearly cycle. The sun, the moon, the stars, these great symbols of order in creation, given by God to mark times and seasons. And our Lord Jesus says there will be signs in these great symbols of stability and order. These things won't always last. Do not be surprised if you look out and see signs among them, disorder where you expect order. Likewise, Jesus talks about the waves and the water and the nations fainting from fear. And again, it's good for us to think about this literally, get some picture in our minds and our imaginations, but also and especially to think scripturally. What, scripturally speaking, does water symbolize? It symbolizes the rushing in of chaos. That's why, for example, in Revelation, it says the sea is no more. Chaos has been done away with. And also why in Scripture Jesus shows his authority by walking on water. He is the one who has authority over the powers of chaos. Times of judgment are coming, says the Lord, for the righteous and for the unrighteous. Do not be surprised when chaos breaks in. If you want another way of thinking of this, think about the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about the wise man who builds his house on rock and the fool who builds his house on sand. They both face the storms and the rising waters. Neither of them is immune from this. But the one who builds on rock stands. I think that's a good image for us too to keep in mind as we interpret the words that we're hearing today. A time of judgment is coming. There will be instability and chaos. We know about this personally. Jesus is also talking about what happens communally and cosmically. What happens at the micro level happens on the macro level as well. Jesus speaks his words to us. But listen to how Jesus goes on. Because you might expect Jesus to say, run for the hills. But he does not. He says, now when these things take place, when they begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Don't think that when these things happen that God has abandoned you. He is not far, but is coming to redeem you, to buy you back from the powers of sin, death, and hell. Therefore, show this in your body language. Stand up. Your redemption is coming. Raise your heads. Someone is coming to free you. Think perhaps of the image of a prisoner, a political prisoner, stuck in jail, treated most poorly, thinking that it's going to go on forever, but then hearing an approaching army, a liberating army. For the jailers, that sound is bad news, but for the imprisoned, it's a great sound of great joy. The prisoner will stand up in his chains, look out the window. The redemption is coming near. I think that sort of imagery helps us understand what Jesus is talking about to us. And again, Jesus is here addressing us as disciples. Stand up, raise your heads. Do not despair or fall into fear because of chaos at the personal or the communal or the cosmic level. The Son of Man comes to redeem from slavery to sin. Now, Jesus goes on to help his disciples by giving them a parable. Let's listen now to this parable. He says to us, look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now Jesus turns their attention to nature for wisdom. Jesus does this often in the Gospels. Remember that Jesus sometimes says, look at the lilies of the field and think about them, how God clothes them with splendor. Or Jesus turns their attention to nature when he says, look at the birds of the air. Think about how God cares for them. And now Jesus turns their attention to nature again. God's revelation through his word and revelation in nature working together. Look at the trees and how they bud in spring and how they bring leaves. Think about how you know, when you see this, that summer is coming in. You know how to judge this, don't you? Also, therefore, be judges, discerners, spiritually speaking. When you see instability, when you see chaos, you do well to think about these things in terms of coming judgment. Judgment which we face now in this life, the coming of cost and difficulty, but also judgment in terms of God's economy, how God works with his world. But we know as Christian people that God comes not to condemn us, but to save us, not to impoverish us, but to make us rich. So think, discern, take the lessons you learn from nature and apply them also to the spiritual realm. By the way, in this text, Jesus says these words, truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. I've looked at this text in studies in the week, and a number of people have drawn my attention to these words and asked what they mean. How can Jesus say this generation will not pass away until these things have taken place when everyone he spoke to died and what he says still has not happened? At least it seems like this. I think this is a good question. And commentators have many opinions about what Jesus is talking about here. So from the pulpit, I won't give you what I think is the definitive answer to that sort of question, but I'll give you the way that I meditate on it and think about it. When I read a word like generation in Scripture, in Jesus' own language, then I ask myself, how does Scripture use this word? If you look back in the Bible, how do we hear the word generation or generations used? It's curious that in the creation story, the creation of things like the sun and the moon and stars are called the generations of these things, how God brought them into being. Also, if you read the Old Testament, it will talk about the generation of the righteous and the generation of the wicked. And there it does not seem to be talking so much about a time scale, but about a kind of thing or a kind of people. The kind of the righteous, the kind of the wicked, the generation of these groups. When I hear Jesus talk this way, I think he's talking mainly about the kinds that will exist up to a certain point, up to the time of the Son of Man coming with great glory. The imagery of clouds, of course, in the Scriptures is the image of glory, the image of God's gracious presence and also his presence to judge and to redeem. Regardless of how we take these words, Jesus does give us a clear word of admonition. Listen to what he says to us. Be on your guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Be on your guard, Jesus says, that your hearts aren't weighed down. And then he gives three examples of things that weigh the heart down, and the first is dissipation. Now, we don't use the word dissipation much in everyday life, but I'll give you an image that I think can help us understand what Jesus is talking about. Think about someone with a hangover, and they are very hazy, and they can't focus properly on anything. That is a literal image of dissipation, you could say. And then think about how this might apply to life. not being able to focus on anything properly, not having any one thing that guides and gives order to life. Be on your guard against this literally, about living in such a way that you get a hangover, that you can't focus on anything, but also spiritually. Jesus then also gives a warning against drunkenness. This is something that weighs the heart down. Be on your guard. If you fall into this, you won't be ready for the coming of the Son of Man. You may call me naive, but I think it's good to take this teaching literally. Sometimes I think to myself, Fraser, should you have that glass? What if the Lord returns? At least that's how I think, and if it works for you, I think it's at least in line with what Jesus is talking about here. It's a warning that he gives us. He also warns us not to let our hearts be weighed down by the worries of life. Let's say we're spending our time and giving a lot of mental effort to financial worries. Now, financial worries are real, but they are not the sum total of life. And if we let these worries become the focus of our lives, our hearts will get weighed down. And we won't be ready for the Lord who comes to redeem us. Jesus gives us these words, by the way, not to harm us or to frighten us, but to help us as his disciples. Remember that these words come to us from great love for us. Jesus, who gives these words, was, when he gave them, about to lay down his life for his disciples, for his enemies, for the whole world. So we know that these words do not flow from hatred or from fear-mongering, but from great love and from wisdom. Jesus also says to be alert at all times. And one thing that's good to pay attention to here is the word times here could perhaps be better translated as seasons. In the Greek New Testament, there's a word for tick-tock time, and that's chronos. That's the sort of time you get from a clock. What time will work start? Work will start at 7:30 a.m. But there's another word for time, kairos, and that has the idea of season behind it. What's the time for harvest? That's when you use that word, the season for harvest, and that's the word that's used here. Let's be alert in every season. Not thinking there's a time when we don't need to be alert. You know, if you're a farmer, there's a time you don't need to worry about sowing the crops that's been done. That season's come and gone. But Jesus is encouraging us to trust that the season of God's coming is always at hand and that we should live discerning lives. So these are words of admonition for us that we need to hear as disciples, that are good for us to hear as Christian people, you could say perhaps especially in this party season of Advent. But let's remember that our Lord Jesus Christ was the one who lived this teaching for us. He's about to go into his suffering and death in Luke's Gospel. And we know that Jesus in his passion was the only one who truly stayed alert. Even though his disciples had droopy eyelids, fell asleep, Jesus stayed awake. And we know that Jesus is the one who has stayed awake for us through death into life. And so our hope is ultimately not in ourselves, not in our ability to stay awake, but in Jesus' alertness for us, in his life for us. So when we hear this teaching, let our focus especially be on Christ. Remember that he says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. In this world, there will be chaos and instability. It happens at a personal level. It happens at a communal level. It will happen also at a cosmic level. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gives us a sure foundation to stand on, a place where we can find true identity, clarity of thought, and life together in God's kingdom. Well, may God keep us in this faith, keep us alert in Christ Jesus, so that we may live lives standing upright, with our heads up, knowing that our redemption is at hand.